The Valley of Grace podcast, helping women reclaim their power and identity so they will know they are enough. And we are breaking unhealthy relationship patterns, building resilience and flourishing, and creating an empowered new chapter of life. Before we get to part two of the interview between Dr. Shante Haynes and myself, I'd like to give a shout out to Timothy Horton for bringing our intro and outro music every single week. And without further ado, here's Dr. Shante Haynes.
Be the very thing that stops them from committing suicide. It could be, like I say, the knockout punch to whatever bullying is going on.
Yes.
See that energy, that empowerment for that woman to say, you know what? I'm worth more than this. I'm leaving this right now.
There you go. There you go. I'm worth more than this, you know? Yep. Jesus didn't die for me to be sitting dealing with this. You know, I'm part of royalty. Yes, yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I said Jesus didn't die for me to financially struggle.
Thank you. There you go.
He said abundant life and eternal life.
Amen. Like you said, that abundant life for all areas. Yes.
Exactly.
So now, if you think in your head of your own personal definition for empowered new chapter of life for women, do you think it's the same definition for Black women? And if so, why or why not?
From a woman's perspective, I think it would be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Only because we as women, in our nurturing, in our wanting to do for everybody else, we forget who we are based on whose we are.
True.
And so if we get to that point, then we as women have a suffrage that we connect with regardless of race.
True.
Okay?
Yeah.
We as Black women tend to bring into it what we just talked about, that insecurity, that competition, which that crab mentality that doesn't help. So we as Black women not only need to be empowered because we're connected to our Creator and know who we whose we are and what He has gifted us with, but we have to then let go of some of those insecurities, all those insecurities, let go of that competition and recognize that me adjusting your crown is not taking the crown off my head. Right. I am just helping you straighten out yours.
Yeah.
And I can walk just as high with my head held high doing that as I could do if I'm a critic instead of a commenter. You know?
Yeah.
We got trolls these days. We got enough trolls. Let's not be a part of that program.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my word. Yes. Now, do you feel that the Black community plays a role in healing from our past hurts? And if so, did they play a role in you healing?
I think they can.
Okay.
I think that we can do a better job because we're not connected with the right people, but we can seek them out. I think that the Black community can help quite a bit in general for all of our people if we start looking to help others excel, not trying to bring them down. Oh, you're getting ahead of me, so I don't want you to do better than me. Back in the day, we would have a saying that the parents wanted their children to do better than they did.
Yes.
What happened to that level of excellence?
Right.
You know, that's where we should be. Hey, let me help you. If we start a community of helpers, I think we'll see our young people majorly excel in what they're doing, and just basically they can take over the world.
Yes. You know, that is so true.
Have a cause behind it, but yes, excel. I see that there is not only a need for it, but I see that we can do it. I believe in our people.
And I want
them to know that I do truly believe in it, but I am truly disheartened by a lot of what we do see, unfortunately.
Yeah. What's going on now? Yeah. So do you think, why do you think rather that with Black women, we feel the need to pressure other Black women into getting skin lightening products, about getting hair straighteners, not feeling free with your hair, not feeling free with your language, that you're not proper enough? Why do you think that happens?
Well, look, we natural. So we don't have that problem. But when you go back in our history, you know, you had the light skin versus the dark skin. And some people had their little color issues. I wasn't on the color issue either. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, and it's back to the Uncle Toms that were in the house, and then you had the field slaves. So you had this competition that was kind of built in from the outside.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Then we started segregation. And I know this is not a history lesson, but we started the segregation. And so we started separating, and we were doing really well with our own businesses, buying from our own selves. We were supporting one another.
Okay.
Then we try to jump into mainstream marketing. And in the mainstream marketplace, we then started competing with other people, and we weren't supporting our own.
Gotcha. Yep.
Okay. So we as women, we looked at the marketplace, and what does the marketplace tell us? You need to be like Miss America. And Miss America, up until Vanessa Williams, didn't look like us.
True.
Miss America was thin. All right. Miss America had the long straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to compete, we had to look like that. So a lot of the women that we have in today's day and age, Black women, are saying, well, you need to look like that. Now you can buy hair any kind you want, any color you want, any place you want.
And
I'm like, that's not you.
Mm-hmm.
But if that makes you feel good for the moment.
Right. If it makes you feel good, like you said, feel free. But some of it is not us. Some of it we try and it's like, that's not me.
Now, I will tell you this, and this is just my personal.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the hairstyles today looking natural, they ain't cute. But that's them.
No, it's fine, girl. It's fine.
But, you know, honestly, some of it, if you like it, that's not my place. I don't have a right to tell you it doesn't look good unless you ask me.
Right. I know what you mean.
But we should have some level of thought that we put into how we present ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you need to have your hair neatly tight or what have you. No, that's up to you.
Right.
If that's what you want to wear and you're presenting the best you, then go for it.
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying.
You don't have to look like Bozo the Clown.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to look like Piccaninny, you know, because we had a problem with that. Why are we trying to act like that looks great? Okay,
right.
If that's what you want, okay.
Right. Right.
I can't tell you. Now, in the hiring world, you know, HR, they might decide that you're not going to make it.
Right.
So you recognize where you're going.
That's true. Yep. That is true. Mm-hmm. Oh, my word. Yes, that is so true. So have you, I don't know if you've had this experience yourself, or do you know of other Black women where they've had the experience of non-Black churches, they've been hurt from non-Black churches where they basically enabled white supremacy?
I haven't. I will say, though, I have seen where sometimes we in our own Black churches hold people down. I think one of the big issues that we don't typically talk about mm-hmm. is the fact that the church in and of itself, the man-made side of it, really promoted the male domination. Yes. And so it's very difficult for you to see women that are in leadership, women that are past already, you know, okay. and the competition that they have. And that doesn't help either. But even though we know God says I can use anyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had this issue when I first started preaching, and I'm going to tell you, honestly, I ran for 10 years. So mm-hmm. it wasn't like I was looking for it.
Okay.
But the first time that I got an opportunity to preach, I never forget, this deacon comes up to me and we were doing watch night. And, you know, we do the round robin, you mm-hmm. know, typical tradition in a black church.
Right.
And he came up to me and it happened to be like five women that were going to be preaching that night. And there was no men. I hadn't paid attention to it, but mm-hmm. we were the ones that were in leadership. And, you know, this was our first time
right. preaching.
And he came up to me, he goes, well, who's preaching? And so I gave him the list of people. He goes, oh, all women. I don't want to hear them. And I remember saying to him, it just came out. I said, if you don't want to hear from the vessel that God has decided, that's your loss.
Mm.
And because it's such a stigma in many right. instances,
yes.
that I think is probably the bigger problem today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, right after that first, when he came up to me, he said, you could preach to me any day. So I was mm-hmm. like, okay, but I wasn't trying to do it for him. But I had already had my come to Jesus moment after going to a conference, a minister's conference, the first mm-hmm. one I went to, and it was a Baptist one. And they were like, women shouldn't teach, women shouldn't preach. And I was like, well, wait a minute, why am I here?
Ah. So
me and the Lord had a conversation over lunch that day. And what he said to me was, I'm sovereign. I pick who I want.
Gotcha.
I decide.
Okay.
And I got comfortable with that. That's why I could give that answer.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know,
exactly what you mean.
The Bible mm-hmm. says that your gift will make room for you.
It sure will, won't it?
That if God has placed something inside of you or some gifting, no matter where you are and no matter who tries to hold you down, that you are still going to rise to the top because he's going to place you and move you if you just keep listening to him.
That is so true. Yeah. If we keep on listening to him, you know, and as the scriptures say, you know, this is the way, walk ye in it, not to the left and not to the right. And we'll keep exactly. following. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my word. Yes, yes, yes. So I would love for you to talk about how not feeling like you're enough as a Black woman can impede our faith. And as well, what advice would you give to that woman?
Yes. When it comes to our trusting, and I give the definition of faith, our trust, okay. our reliance, and our dependence upon God, and give credence to his word.
Okay.
When you are not feeling like God loves you, I tell everybody, you go back to the cross. If Jesus died for you,
yes.
you were already worth it. Mm-hmm. If it was just you, he would have still given his life for you.
Amen.
So you have to start by changing that thought process that you are not enough. It's mm-hmm. not for any specific person, but it is for the one that created you and the one that died for you. And
right.
when you can sit in that level of love, you start changing and you start moving forward. Because as long as you don't think that you're enough, you're not going to achieve everything that you're supposed to.
That
you're
is
not
so
gonna
true.
You're not going to even try.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to reach out. You're not going to go to new levels. You're going to keep looking in that rearview mirror and you're like, but I got a big windshield in front of me. Why mm-hmm. am I not paying attention to that? I love, there's this meme that was on Facebook, I think I saw mm-hmm. it somewhere, where there's this young Black woman sitting on the top of this block. And the guy was below and he says, hey, come down here. And she looks down and she says, you come up here. And his response when he looks back up, he says, I can't. And she sits on the top and she says, oh, that's where we need to get. If they're not enough and they can't come up to where we are, we don't
yes.
stoop down. We don't settle anymore.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So when you recognize who you are based on what God's word says, we are mm-hmm. queen. We are kings and princesses. We are a royal nation. We are a holy priesthood.
Amen.
We're supposed to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness and into the marvelous light. You sit on top of that block and you said, oh, you can't come up here? All right.
Okay. I'm good. I'm good down there and I'm good up here.
Exactly. Now, when you decide you want to come up, we're good.
Okay.
I'm not trying to keep you down. But if you already say you can't come, you're on a whole different level. No, we're going to be unequally yoked. Let me keep on moving.
There you go. There you go. Yep. Let me keep on moving. I love it. Oh, my word. So would you please expound for the audience on how your practice as a businesswoman and then as a coach in general has led to empowering and impacting Black women?
Whew, I can tell you this. One of my clients came to me and she had a husband that was narcissistic. She had already left him like 9 years ago, but she never filed for divorce. And she was really afraid of what was going to happen when she did. And as a businesswoman, I, of course, want to see all of my clients succeed. We got in there, you know, I encouraged her. I mean, there were a lot of tears. There was a lot of an emotional, you know, baggage that was there. We kind of unpacked that, but I got her to the point where that spiritual foundation could kick in and keep her moving forward. That emotional roller coaster now was kind of like level playing field, saved money because I, you know, I made sure that what we were doing was going to get her on the right path. So financially secure there, the peace that she needed was there for her to then file. And even though it was still a little bit of anxiety in the actual filing, she found the right person to be her attorney, all of that, she was like, so thankful. As a business owner, that's what you want. I did what I walked in here to do. My program is called Prosperity After Pain. Doesn't mean that you're going to have a massive bank account, but you're going to get what you deserve. You're going to recognize who you are and what you do deserve. And then you're going to make sure that nobody railroads you, nobody walks over you or takes advantage of you. And so, yes, you got to go through the process. And the process is not always going to be lucrative. You know, people hide money, people spend money, people waste money. They do all of that. But what I find is most of the women did not know going in what their financial situation was because somebody else was already always taking care of the finances. So they were, they know all the ins and outs. They know the plan. They have a plan and they move forward in the plan, whatever it looks like for them.
Right.
So, That's what I really like doing. Now, some of them didn't even go through a divorce. They were just doing a major life change. They finally got to the point to say, you know what? I'm tired of living paycheck to paycheck.
Okay.
This isn't working. And I had one lady, she came to me and she was a senior citizen. So she was like, you know, I don't know if you can do anything for me. And in debt, poverty mindset, we went all the way back to, wait a minute, who told you you could not prosper?
Right.
Because you have that in your mind. And I always say, yeah, you need to break up with broke. That's why I did a program on that one too. Like, get your mindset right.
Right.
But by the time we finished with her, everything was in order. It was automated. She got money back from the utility company because she was overpaying and didn't even realize it. And we put a plan in place for her to be debt-free within the next 6 years, completely debt-free. I'm talking condo paid-offs, student loans, everything. But she had a plan because no one sat down with her to say, this is what you have coming in, this is what you have going out, and you're spending more than you have coming in. That's why you have this problem.
Right.
She thought she had to be in debt. That's another fallacy that people are hearing today. That we're always supposed to be in debt.
Right. That's supposed to be your status. Yeah.
Yeah. Or keeping up with the Joneses. I got to buy that new car because they got a new car. I got to look like them. And one of my pet peeves, why am I buying these $200 rims for somebody else on the outside? Because I can't see it while I'm driving.
Right. Thank you. But like you said, trying to keep up that, you know, that competition. Instead of doing what it is that God has ordained for us. And then if we got children, you know, for us and our family, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we got that legacy. Keep up. Yes. Yep. Oh, my word.
Now, I will say this. Great. If it's within your means to do and it's something that you want, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in many instances, it's not within your means. And there so you have to change it. Mm-hmm. And so once we start living within our means, then we can start then investing and getting more for compounded interest and making sure that, you know, we have something that we can leave. Because the Bible says a good man, or I say woman too, leaves an inheritance for their children's children. Yes. When we empower women, we empower the entire household. Mm-hmm. We empower the community. And ultimately, we empower the world. So that's why I'm excited about what you're doing, because it's like if we get to the women, they will train the children.
They will.
They will then train the community. Yes. They will then train their other sisters.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it's not 18% that understand money management. Now it's 50%. Then it's 75%. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to do. We need to work together to say we're all going to make it. And we're going to do an excellent job when we get there.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. What would you think would be the key components for Black women who are healing and they say, I want to do exactly what Dr. Shante Haynes is doing? What do you think would be required?
First, I would say get clarity. Know where you're going. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there. Then secondly, I would say get the right team together so that they can support you through the process. And when you have those two pieces in place, you're going to want your foundation, meaning you need to get with the creator so that you can say, all right, I'm not doing this alone, and recognize you don't have to.
Right. That is so true. Oh, my word, is that so true. So if a Black woman came up to you and they say, Dr. Haynes, I want my power and identity back. And then you say,
you can get it. Mm-hmm. If you already declare it and you really know who you are, you have the power already. It's within you.
Mm-hmm.
I started watching Batwoman. I don't know if you saw it, and I'm not into everything.
I have not seen it.
Mm-mm. But it happened to be on, I think it was HBO, but I started watching it. The first series of Batwoman, she was not Black.
Hmm.
The second half, when they switched to the next season, it was a Black woman.
Really?
We don't see ourselves being able to save a community. We don't see ourselves saving, you know, somebody from drugs or going to a specific city and really making a significant impact. Just swooping in, doing what we need to do. In it, she was in the system, in the prison system prior to young woman. She was in the prison system because she took the fall for somebody else and they didn't believe her because of the color of her skin.
Mm.
Okay. So when she had the opportunity then to save, she had to deal with some stuff. The forgiveness of the people who locked her up, not wanting to kill the person who killed her mother. You know, those type of things. But she did it. You can be empowered. And it wasn't the suit that did it for her.
Right.
It was her thought process that changed.
Gotcha.
So just like any other woman coming to me, we got to get your thoughts together so that you're thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. And you're not trying to drink poison, that unforgiveness. Drink it yourself thinking it's going to hurt and harm somebody else, because it doesn't work.
Right.
That's a big issue. We got to let go of the past. We've got to let go of the regret. We got to let go of thinking that my past was better than my future, because it's not. Yeah,
that is true.
Every time you turn around, we had the Old Testament. Oh, it was great. We had the law. Okay, but the law didn't save, right?
Right.
Jesus comes in on the scene and we think, okay, that was better. I want to be like a disciple. I want to walk with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was only in one place at one time. Since he was physically here, he said, if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who will be inside of you no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can do more than what I could do when I was here. So the better is always the latter. Mm-hmm. When we get that in our minds, that God has a great plan for us. And that plan is to prosper us and to move us forward and for us to help somebody else. When we recognize that it doesn't matter what I've been through on my long journey, at this juncture, I can make it even better. So yes. When she comes to me, yes, baby, you can have your power. Wear the suit if you need to.
Put the suit on.
Right. Because, you know, sometimes we dress up, we put on the right shoes and, you mm-hmm. know, look good. And we right. think, okay, if that's what's going to make you feel good right now, we're going to work on your mindset, but feel good right now and mm-hmm. recognize you can step high into your future.
Amen. That is so true. Oh, my word. What is one thing you want someone to know when they think about you?
They kind of nicknamed me the performance excellence coach. I had somebody nickname me that, and I thought, okay, I guess that does kind of flow. Because my key verse that I always tell people, I say it's my favorite verse, but then I'll give you a whole lot of other favorites too. But my key verse has always been Colossians 3:23, which says, whatever you do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord and not to man. If we live for an audience of one and we give our best, your best yes, your best effort, you mm-hmm. give your best to whatever you're doing, you're going to be a person of excellence. That's what I would want them to say about me. She's a person of excellence, person of integrity. She's going to give you, she's going to serve you, she's going to help you. Mm-hmm. And she's not trying to take anything from you.
Right.
So if I'm the one that is empowering you to perform at your peak performance, that's, you know, on my tombstone, that would be great.
Amen. Oh, wow. So what's one thing you want Black women to know when they think of themselves?
That they have the same power on the inside, that they are not shortchanged by who they're connected to. We were born by ourselves and we're going to die by ourselves. We only have to answer for ourselves. So Amen. You do the best that you have on the inside of you and don't worry about the rest of it.
Yeah, that is so true. Now I got some fun questions. All of those are fun before. These are some fun where they were, oh, I found this out about Dr. Ames. Okay. So what songs are on your playlist that you feel like you just can't live without? Name five.
I mentioned one to you. It's from Elevation Church or Elevation Worship. Since I shall not want. That one really touches my heart these days. And they've got some other ones like Gyra. But anything by CC Winans is going to be on my playlist all the time.
Oh, my word. Yes. Oh, my goodness. I love that. I love all her music, hers and BB's. And
Tamla Mann has some good things out there. Yes. We got Tasha Cobbs. I mean, we got some people that can sing.
Yes. Oh, my word. Yes. Ooh. Yeah,
I don't make a joyful noise, but it ain't an awful noise. But since I ain't singing to the rest of the people, that's all right. The Lord knows my voice.
He so sure does. Oh, my word. Yes, he sure does.
But anything that is going to encourage me that the battle is not mine, that he will fight for me, that I can trust in him, that I'm not by myself, that he's got a great plan for me. Any of those things that are inspiring, that's on my playlist.
Amen. I know what you mean. I'm like that. I like you said, anything that's inspirational that helps to, you know, nourish and feed your soul. Yes. What are three things, speaking of which, that you do to nourish your soul?
Prayer is always a good one, you know, always in prayer. I'm a teacher by nature. Both my parents were teachers and I always said I was not going to teach, but that's what God put in me. Mm-hmm. I try to do whatever, but I still teach, you know, because I used to do youth as well. And now I do women's ministries and things of that sort. So the teaching is important, but I always tell my teachers, you don't want to teach. You have to teach from overflow. Yes. So that means that I have to pour into me. So I'm always going to be doing studies. I'm always going to be reading and making sure. I can't say that with the pandemic that, you know, it was very easy to keep a ritual or schedule mm-hmm. of learning. Because everything kind of bombarded in on us, you know, but you have to be disciplined enough to say, I'm going to have my devotions in the morning because I'm going to have my devotions. I'm not going to talk to anybody before that, you know, because if they interrupt that, the rest of your day is interrupted.
That is true. Yeah. Right? It sets the tone, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. So I know who I'm going to listen to up front. You know, they already, that part is on my playlist too. I'm going to get my morning motivation, my morning
devotion.
So I get that done. And then as I'm constantly talking to God throughout the day, but I'm definitely going to hear messages from others so that I can be inspired based on his word.
Right.
All right. So I fill my tank so that I can then give out more.
Okay. I got you. You're right. I agree with you 100% with that. Like you said, with teaching, you know, when you have that in any type of job where you're pouring out, I'm one for saying you got to be pouring out from an overflow. So you've got to be pouring in like 4 or 5 times as much as you're pouring out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I used to wonder all the time because I'll ask the Lord, I'm like, at one point I was listening to like 5 different messages before I got up in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, why am I listening to so much? And he said, that's because you're pouring out so much.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that too. On weeks where I pour out more, sometimes I'll turn the TV on because I like to like find a decent program to watch to relax to, you know. Mm-hmm. And but on weeks that I poured out a lot and I'll turn the TV on, it's just like, no, I'm going to go to YouTube and find some preaching. I don't want to watch a show now. You know what I'm saying? I might listen to like 3 hours of preaching, another podcast after that. But I've realized like I got to just pour in more. You know what I'm saying?
And I love there are a lot of new preachers that I am now just finding, I'll say it that way, that are in our community.
Okay.
Because I have my PhD is in theology. And so I've done all of that and I've done the Christian counseling too. My ears are attuned to what is appropriate, you know, not just this is what I'm thinking, but they have studied, they've looked up the Greek and the Hebrew words. They will give you more information. And I love application because I always say, that you need to, I help people put feet to their faith so that they can walk victoriously. Yes. It's not just, can I quote it, but am I living it?
Right.
If I can't apply it, it's not helpful.
No, right? I agree.
And so I'm finding a lot more that are out there, and that's a good thing.
It is. Mm-hmm. That is so true. Okay, what is something that people get wrong about you?
Well, sometimes it comes across critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just, I'm finding the little pieces that can then improve.
Ah, those little details, right?
Yes. I could be the very detail, like, well, this might not work because of thus, and thus. I'm not saying don't do it.
Right.
I'm saying, you need to pay attention to this and tweak it so that that's not a problem.
Gotcha.
So what I've learned to do is to choose my words carefully.
Okay.
And choose the right moment and when to say it to someone so that, because I'm really trying to help, but sometimes it doesn't come across as if you're really helping.
I got you.
But you got to know your personality. You got to know your makeup.
That's true. That is so true. That is so true. If we're not self-aware, then we can't even tweak whatever it is we're saying.
And you know, and I'm probably the hardest on myself.
Yes,
and I remember Bishop Jakes was interviewed by Pastor Stephen Furtick. And it was for his book, Don't Drop the Mic. And he made this comment within it. He said, that voice, that critic voice that you hear in your head as you're preaching or teaching and listening to your own self, I do that. I review it. But you have to lower the volume on that. Mm-hmm. Just enough that you are then going to get better. But at the same time, it's not like you're thinking you got it all together and you're not looking for those ways to improve.
True.
And I think sometimes that's a fallacy that we have. We don't want to listen to what we've done. We don't want to review what we've already put out there in the marketplace to see if it should be better. Yes, you should look at that. You should critique your own stuff. but not to the point where you're thinking, oh man, that was horrible. No, don't do that. Say, how can I make it better? And so I appreciated that too, to say, yes, you always review what you do have.
Amen. Yes. Last question, and this has been wonderful, I tell you. What nuggets of wisdom can you leave for Black women when it comes to walking out their Christian faith and revealing their true identity as Black women, not feeling like they have to put on 50 masks, you know, to cover up that they're really a Black woman?
Yeah, I would say find the right community. Everybody will not receive, and that's okay.
Right.
Because they're not there. They're not at your level. But when you find your tribe, then you will soar. And that will be my prayer for everybody, that they would be able to do that. Stay close to God. Again, the sweet tea in Jesus works.
Yes, it does. Amen.
You need him. But he will then direct you to the right people if you but ask. You know? Right. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to let go of some folks.
Mm-hmm.
And it might feel hard to do, but in the end, you're going to win out. So that's what I was
saying. And I agree 100%. Like you said, sometimes it does end up involving letting people, releasing people, like you said, because that only can go on so long where we cannot be our authentic, unique self. So. Yeah.
And then, you know, another thing that we don't do is, because of our past that says you keep it in the household, you don't tell other people, when you sweep things under the rug, you still see that big lump. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with what you need to deal with, your personal. So deal with that, but have a safe place where you can be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And they accept you and they're there to help you grow and move forward. And it might seem like it's difficult, but sometimes you have to work on self first.
True.
You know, just like David said, create in me a clean heart, oh God. You need to go back and say, okay, manufacturer, I'm broken. Fix me.
Yes.
You know, and he will. The thing about God I love is that he does it little by little. He's the great physician. He can cut you, open it up, take out what needs to, sew you back up, and then you move forward. It might feel like it's a long time, but you don't recognize what the disease has been causing for so long
right.
in the past, that that surgery is a short time period. So even when we're in this, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the GPS on all of this. I don't know my to-do list. I have no clue what to put on it. And I'm leaning and depending and waiting on God.
Right.
Just know that he will show you in his timing the right thing to do and the right steps to take and the right people to be connected to. But you got to ask.
Isn't that the truth? Yes, that's so true. Like you said, we ask for it. And then, like you said, he will literally direct us to the right people. You know what I'm saying? Because he was like, man, I can't figure this out. And the next thing you know, the Lord sent somebody along, and then he'll send somebody else along. Yep. You know, yeah. But people, you know, sometimes we looking, and then a lot of times he'll just start sending people to us.
Yep.
Hey, can you do this? And you're just like, where did you come from?
Right. But he does those things. And we should also have fun.
Yes.
It's not all about, you know, being in the church is not, oh, you got to wear these long dresses and you got to have the hats on, you
right.
know, back in the day. I love to dance. And I was a wrecked at Georgia Tech, you know, on the field dancing. I love dancing. I love having fun. And my kids, well, they're not kids anymore because they're young adults, but... You know, sometimes it might even be a Disney movie that we're doing a sing-along or something like that.
Right.
Have fun. You can dance before the Lord.
Yes.
He's the lover of your soul.
Amen.
Why not? And so do what makes you feel good. If it's singing, sing. If it's dancing, right. dance. But all in his word, you can say, Lord, I'm just dancing before you. I don't have a dance partner, you know, while I'm waiting. You know, I don't have a dance partner right there. They left me. Okay, I can line dance through the electric slide.
That's okay. Song, yes.
Right? You know,
electric slide, two-step.
Oh, yeah. You know, and, you know, Kirk Franklin's got some good ones out there. I love Brighter Day.
Yes.
You know, because it puts you in a happy mood. And
it
one
puts
of
you in a happy mood.
One of my customers is, and she was like, you know, I can't journal. You know, I'm having a hard time. I'm like, just write one word. This is how I'm feeling. But then sometimes you need to put on some worship music and it could be Brighter Day. So yes. I'm looking forward to my future. And, you know, man, that's just helping you move forward. But you get in there and you just say, I'm going to live life. I'm not stoic. I'm not stiff-necked. No, I'm going to enjoy life. And he wants me to enjoy life.
Yes, he does. That is so true. This has been a blessing. Oh, man, this has been a blessing getting to know you better.
Oh.
And these nuggets of wisdom and all of your words that you've been able to give out to the audience. This is real good. Oh, my goodness. Have a blessed rest of your Labor Day. Yes.
Yes. You know, Katina, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
I love it. I really do. And
to God be the glory.
Is that you continue to move forward too, and you continue to do a great job. Like, your business is going to prosper.
I wish I could give back, but I'm not intact to be sharing all of that. You took the price to give me that life, and now it's never gonna fade away. When I see I need more of him, he whispers the sweetest of mercies upon my ears, and I won't go back the way it was again, 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 and now. A valley of grace where things would change. I've seen the lights up. Thank you.